This conference will now be recorded.
All right, we'll call the Community Development Committee meeting to order. It's 5:15, Monday, August 10th. Would you like to do roll call?
Sure. Councilmember Fagerly?
Here.
Councilmember Schwantes?
Here.
Councilmember Osmus?
Here, filling in for Vicki Davis.
And Councilmember Nelson, filling in for Councilmember Besky.
Here.
Thank you.
All right, thank you all for being here. Mr. Scott, are you here for a particular item, or is it just the regular one, number four?
Yes, Chair, I'm here for number four, unless there are other questions the committee has.
Okay, good. Is there any discussion items anyone wants to talk about? I don't see the public calling, okay. Action item number four, Dr. Ramstad, the second bat of additional Renaissance Zone incentives.
Thank you, Chair Fagerly. As some of you are aware, and actually, well, you know what, three of you weren't at the last meeting. We have brought forward a second batch of additional Renaissance Zone incentives, and the abatement incentive was sent back for clarifications. And so in this revised packet is a tax abatement policy revision that includes clarifications for the Renaissance Zone and sets out what abatement parameters are for the Renaissance Zone overlay. It does not preclude other abatements from occurring within the Renaissance Zone, but for the abatements that are attached to the Renaissance Zone overlay, it clarifies on what that means and what is involved. So, for instance, I'll get into that in a second. Just to give you an overview, on May 4th, 2020, the City Council adopted the Renaissance Zone, which is a new zoning overlay district encompassing the Central Business District and adjacent areas. The new district is a five-year pilot program intended to encourage economic development. The district will offer greater flexibility relative to zoning requirements otherwise imposed by the underlying zoning districts and is regulated by Section 12 of the city's zoning ordinance and defines the geographical boundaries within which certain development incentives will be targeted, including this abatement incentive. When the council adopted the ordinance establishing the overlay district, it also removed parking restrictions on Saturdays in the Central Business District and provided building permit waivers as part of the first phase of development incentives. The proposed amendments to the city's existing tax abatement policy provided herein are primarily intended to create a standardized process for tax abatements to be approved for priority projects that satisfy the objectives of the Renaissance Zone. So again, it does not preclude regular abatements from occurring outside of that zoning layer or outside of the Renaissance Zone at all. But what it does do is it assures developers that if they provide projects that meet the guidelines stipulated in the ordinance and in the application that was attached, that they have assurances that they will get the abatement, you know, barring any other project issues that that may lead to a project not being approved by the council ultimately. It still allows the council the flexibility to deny a project. So staff seeks a motion to recommend to the council to adopt the resolution approving the revised city tax abatement policies.
All right, thank you, Dr. Ramstad. So everything in red is new. It's additional. Okay. Kathy, you have any questions? Okay, does this look good to you this time? I think you and Sean had some concerns and, okay. Audrey, do you have any questions? We couldn't hear you, Audrey.
No, I know I didn't unmute myself. I apologize. So
that's okay.
I had a chance to review it. I did have a couple of questions, I think, in just, I have been a supporter of tax abatement and I still am a supporter of tax abatement. I was just trying to understand the clarification of what's really making it more special for the Renaissance Zone. And then I was questioning, and I get it, I understand it, but the whether we can get away with saying that the city council is expected to approve it. And so I would just seek clarification of some of the, what are the differences in 7 versus what we're doing in the rest of the city? And then can we get away with that word, those words?
Sure, I'll defer to Robert Scott in a moment, but essentially on page 4 of the application, you'll see minimum investment thresholds, which have dollars per square foot spent. And then there's also minimum project thresholds. And one of those thresholds is something that you and I had discussed a while back with Jill in the HRA about making a housing requirement, but making it 80% of area median income. So in other words, if they meet these investment and these project criterias, we're saying that their project is assured, barring any other issues, that they will get the abatement from the council. You're correct. We are giving them some assurances there, that, and that's the reason for creating this project type. And the reason why we're creating these project types for the Renaissance Zone is that it targets the types of projects we'd like to see downtown. We'd like to see, you know, projects that have some mass, you know, 2 or 3 stories tall, have some retail, have some housing so we can populate downtown, and have some mixed income housing. So, you know, we really want to populate downtown and make it an active and vibrant community, something that's almost self-sustainable if we can. And so that was the intent of this. Now, any of these things could be modified, and I suspect, like any battle plan, once you go into the fight, the plan changes. So I see this as Robert Scott has tried to make this as flexible as possible so that we can go in and make changes and adjustments as the committee and planning commission evaluate these projects. You know, we're probably going to want to tweak this here and there. So we've tried to maintain a maximum level of flexibility. In terms of whether the city can do this, I guess I'm going to defer to Robert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. On your question, Councillor Nelson, which is a very good one, I would, I guess, quibble a little bit, not quibble, but clarify Dr. Ramstead's remarks. There is a process, a statutory process, the city must go through every time it is to grant an abatement. So I don't believe we could get away in this policy with saying, for example, that if the benchmarks in the Renaissance Zone are satisfied, the abatement is automatically approved, or that the applicant is entitled to approval. You do still have to, you know, go through the statutory process, hold a public hearing, make findings that the, you know, basis for an abatement are present. The intent in really creating this sort of special prioritized set of criteria for projects in the Renaissance Zone is to, in some respects, have the council on record as supporting these projects, as sort of publicizing its intent to use this tool to encourage development in this specific location, and have a more streamlined process, and I think probably give some assurance to applicants, even though it's not a legal entitlement, that if they come forward with a project that checks all the boxes and is evaluated by staff under these objectives and found to be a worthy project, that it will very likely be approved. I did consider that language, expected to be approved. I think I, at the end of the day, was comfortable with it, but I think it's a legitimate question. And certainly if the committee wanted to rephrase that, we could do so.
And I will also be working closely with Robert Scott on that wording, because we have added to our planning and development budget of communications and advertising figures. because we want to actually start doing a little more promotion and working hand in hand with the EDC in promoting some of these things. And that's really the best way to get the word out. So we are going to have to be careful and coordinate that with Robert Scott.
Match the application that the Planning Commission will look at and then send it to the City Council then, if they approve of the plan?
I envision both the Community Development Committee and the Planning Commission reviewing these projects so that, but it can be just one or the other if you'd like. Really, a lot of the criteria in here are, you know, they're really subjective. They're, you know, what is it the city wants to do? And they can be tweaked, you know, so they're more strict or less strict, or more involvement, less involvement. So I really will leave that to the committee.
Okay. But it will go to the Planning Commission first, and they'll review it. And you want them to send it back to the Community Development?
That was the idea, yes. And then it would go to okay. Council.
All right. Any questions? Kathy, Julie, Audrey, go ahead.
It seems like every time we've done one of these, it's like an education to the public again on the good of doing them and how it's not hurting us but helping us long term. And so I hope that when we're selling this that we can educate that term tax abatement kind of thing with it too, because they are positive things. So I don't know if there's any plan for how we proceed with that or not. So
yes, absolutely. In order to do that, in order to do these marketing pieces and to get the word out, whether it's on the radio or wherever, education is going to be part of it. And what the abatements do and how they work, that they're not funding anything directly. What they're doing is they're basically, it's almost like a layaway. You know, we're getting the benefit of an improvement, but, you know, they don't have to pay for it until later. So it's really an enticement for the future. But you know, if that project, if that lot or that building or whatever it was just remain the way it is, whether, you know, you're not going to see any improved income or revenue, I should say, from that property. And likewise, you know, if we give them an abatement for 10 years or whatever the case is, for whatever amount, it's going to be just for the city's portion. It's not going to be for the other jurisdictions unless they choose to join in. And it is for the future benefit of the project. So.
All right. Kathy?
Thank you. Going back to the past conversation in regard to it going to the Planning Commission and then Community Development, you refer in Section 7 to the Planning Commission and Development Committee. I wonder if we should reference it as the Community Development Committee, just to clarify that.
Section
7.06. It says, if the Planning Commission and Development Committee recommended a Renaissance Zone project, blah, blah, blah. I just to clarify, I think it would be good to say Community Development Committee, and then it also refers again in that same sentence to the Development Committee. So again, if we can reference Community Development.
I would agree. I think that's a good change.
Just to clarify it. To anyone reading it who's not familiar with the process.
I think there's one more in there too on 7.06. And I don't know if there's more than that, but there, the development committee's reviewed it there too.
Okay.
Anything else? Those changes make sense. It'd be easier to read.
the public.
So what would the committee do?
Motion to approve as presented. With the changes of the text.
Abatement policy.
So Schwantes made, Councilmember Schwantes made the motion. Who made the second?
Is there a second?
I'll second.
I can second. Well, both will.
Anybody?
Osmus, I'll second it.
I think it was Julie first. All right, further discussion? All those in favor, can we have roll call?
Sure, I can do a roll call. Councilmember Fagerly?
Want a roll call, David? Okay.
Sure.
Hi.
Councilmember Schwantes?
Aye.
Councilmember Nelson?
Aye.
And Councilmember Osmus?
Aye.
The ayes have it.
All right. That passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Future agenda items. We have a list here. Anything else anyone want to talk to in the future? Okay. And the tiny home development, is the planning commission almost done with that?
Yes, sir. Dr. Hempstead? Having a little bit of a delay on the call. Sarah has been working diligently on putting her
development. Are they almost done with that statute?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand.
He was simply repeating the question due to the lag between his conversation and the rest of us. Poor Rick doesn't know.
They got bad phone. They got bad phone and internet connection there in Delano?
Yep, yeah.
I think it's City Hall that's a problem, Rick.
Okay.
So you were asking about which property?
So Sarah is working on home development. Okay.
Can somebody repeat if they heard him clearly?
All right. Department.
I don't speak Martian.
No. No, just the home development. Sarah is working on it.
Yes, Sarah is working on it. She's almost done.
Okay. Okay, never mind that. Department updates. Okay.
Okay, well, we've been working pretty hard on our
department updates. Number six. Any updates?
Thank you, Chair. We have been working pretty hard on our state auditor reports for business incentives, namely abatements and TIF. So we just finished that Friday, or I did. We have a couple of other little discoveries that we made in there that'll be coming forward regarding J.H. Herzog's development, which their phase one is nearly done. It's not 100%, but it's like 99% done. And they are starting their phase two. And so we have to make some adjustments to their TIF for that because they have new owners involved. We have about $18 million in construction so far, which is awesome considering all the hiccups and setbacks we've had with COVID. We've been extremely busy. We've been able to operate pretty smoothly considering that we're teleworking. And we are getting prepared to come back to the office. It sounds like that we may be reopening in the next, within the next couple of weeks, maybe sooner. And I think everybody's just trying to get all the protocols as, even though they're policy now, we're trying to make them actually people doing those things, you know, wiping down things, staying 6 feet away and things like that. There's going to have to be some policing at first to get everybody kind of, as I understand it, to get everybody kind of into the routine, the new routine. We will be starting our third phase of incentives shortly. And those will include like the Heritage Designation District, the open zoning, and a downtown hospital hotel idea that really is a proposal. So I'm kind of interested to see how the committee views that once it's drafted up. But that's about it in a nutshell.
All right. Any other questions by any members? Kathy?
So, Dave, is there someone who's actually proposing the hotel kind of a concept with the hospital downtown, or is that simply an idea that we'd like to promote?
Right. It's strictly coming out of our department. The idea was that, you know, downtown hasn't had a hotel for a very long time. There are a lot of people when they come to towns, they like to be in the core where they can walk around and enjoy the amenities that are right out, you know, footsteps away. And hopefully with the Renaissance Zone incentives, a critical mass will start to be developed in our downtown, and we'll even enhance that even further so that people are more going to be more probably, you know, inclined to want to stay in our downtown. The other thing is too, is that, you know, similar to like some of the hospitals the hospital in Rochester, you know, they have a number of hotels that are tied to the hospital by a skyway. I think a boutique, you know, small, relatively higher end hotel of maybe 20 beds or something like that, that can handle gurneys and maybe is connected by a skyway, so for ease is a great amenity for families and the community at whole, for business and for the hospital. It serves kind of a dual purpose. So that's sort of the pitch. Whether or not it's seen as something that's really needed or viable, you know, that's entirely up to the council.
All right, Bobby.
That concept for the hotel for the hospital is exciting. I think I'm just wondering if Dr. Ramstead is aware that there were drawings and proposals for something like that over the years. And I was trying to think how long ago it was, if it was after I served on the hospital board, but there was even like a parking ramp concept on the ground level with retail and a hotel and walkways, et cetera. And so I don't know if you've visited with the hospital about that or not, but somewhere there are drawings with that, and it might be good for you to review that or be aware of what it was proposed. And I honestly don't remember how long ago it was. So, but it was kind of a cool concept then, and probably even more cool now. So,
Thank you for reminding me of that. This idea is probably about a year old. Tom and I did go into the basement of the archives, and we did dig up some stuff, but it was very sketchy. It wasn't the full set. I don't have all the information. What I can tell you is the general idea is that this thing would be developed privately, but the Skyway would probably be a city-owned portion of it that would be connected to the hospital. So there would be some investment there. We have to put some figures together. So it's actually probably a pretty lift putting this proposal together or the concept together. It's going to be a hospital that sort of hotel, it definitely needs to be connected, whether it's below ground or through Skyway. I know Rochester does below ground stuff, but that's expensive too.
Any other questions? Any other items you want to discuss? I think we're done then. We need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All right.
Second.
We are adjourned. Thank you.
Hey, Rick, I have a question for you if you have a minute.
Yeah.
Are you able to attend Friday's Board of Canvassing meeting?
Oh.